You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
At Mercy Culture, we're in what we call a season of mercy. When the Lord told us to plant this church, he gave us Exodus 33:13, and it says this. It says, "Now teach me your ways, that I may know you and find favor." We're in a three-part series called The Culture of Mercy, where we're breaking down this main scripture of Mercy Culture Church. I believe we did a seven-part series on the ways of God, teaching about the ways of God. For the last 6 weeks, we've been in knowing God, knowing the Father, knowing the Son, Jesus, and knowing the Holy Spirit. And then we'll continue with finding favor. So this morning is part six of knowing God. We're talking about this morning the Holy Spirit. And if you want any of the past messages from the first series or this series, it's all on our podcast or on our Facebook page. So if you have your Bibles with me, turn with me to John chapter 16, beginning in verse 4. It says this, John 16, verse 4. "I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me where you're going. Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage." Someone say advantage. "Or it's better that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, and I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict, rebuke, or convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things." Someone say many things. "Many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Someone say all truth. "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to the things are to come. He will glorify me, and he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, I will take what is mine and declare it to you." When the Holy Spirit comes, every other spirit has to go. The title of this message this morning is Holy Spirit, Come. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we say come. Have your way. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit is welcome here. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We adore you. We celebrate you. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that's in this room as we worship. And I pray that you would speak to us in this time. I declare right now that you will breathe upon your written logos word of God. And I pray the Spirit would create rhema. It would become alive. Lord, we declare right now that your word is true and every man's a liar. We declare your word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying today. Give us hearts to receive it. I pray that you give us minds to understand it. Lord, we declare no one came here to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Lord, teach us your mercy culture. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said amen, amen. And amen. This morning, we're going to talk about my absolute favorite subject in the entire world. I probably can preach and teach and minister about nothing else than the Holy Spirit every single Sunday for the rest of my life. I love the Holy Spirit. And I feel so passionate to talk about it because not a lot of people do. In fact, you hear a lot about God. Even the world talks about God. Not talking about Yahweh, but they're talking about some God. And now people are talking even more and more about Jesus, and they recognize him, and some call him a prophet, and some call him Savior, and people have different definitions, or Jesus was a really nice guy. They're aware of Jesus, but I'm amazed about how few people know the Holy Spirit. When we released the video of starting our church, our church is only 6 months old, if you didn't know. We started this 6 months ago. And when we released the video, someone commented on our video and said, "You didn't say Jesus one time in the video." I said, no, but when I say Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And here's why I love the Holy Spirit so much is because the Holy Spirit is how you have relationship with God. When you feel God, you feel the Holy Spirit. When you hear God, you hear the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you noticed, but like when you're getting in the presence of God, sometimes you'll get goosebumps or the hair on your arms will stand up, or you physically feel a presence change in the room. Y'all, that is the Holy Spirit. And when I was 18 years old, I fell in love with this God, this Holy Spirit, and my life was forever changed. And to that day, I still haven't stopped pursuing relationship with Him. In fact, if you didn't know this, we built this church on one question: Holy Spirit, what do you want? The Lord prompted our heart to start this church, and I had said for 10 years, ain't no way we're pastoring, because I didn't want to deal with your drama. I love God, but Lord, your people scare me. It's so much easier to be an evangelist and go preach and prophesy and then go home. And I was, you know, we were having a great life, and the ministry was thriving and everything was going great. And then the Holy Spirit talked to me. And He said, go to Fort Worth. And I was like, whoa. We already talked about this. I told you. And He said, no, you said that. I did it. It's like playing chess with someone that you just cannot win ever, no matter what. I'm like, I'm going to go there. Oh, you knew I was going to go there. He said, I didn't say that. You said it. I'm like, you're right. You never did say that. And I was like, and I'm trying to process this. Have you ever told the Lord you would never do something? You probably shouldn't do that. Just from experience, just letting you know. It's almost like you challenge Him, you know. And I said, I don't want to pastor a church. Because every church I saw pastored was modeled a church built around a man. And I said, I don't want a church built around me. And the Holy Spirit said, then build it around me. I was like, whoa. I want to go to that church. I want to go to a church that's built around you. I want to go to a church that's built around your presence. It's not built around ministry or performance or anything. It's just built. And then I had to stop. I'm like, okay, well, what do you want? And this is how we built Mercy Culture Church. Holy Spirit, what do you want in the children's ministry? Lord, Holy Spirit, what do you want in the membership? Holy Spirit, what do you want in the worship? Holy Spirit, what do you want in teaching? Holy Spirit, how long do you want services? Holy Spirit, where do you want services? What do you want? It's amazing when you start building your life around what the Holy Spirit wants versus what you want. How come you did what you set out to do and you're not fulfilled? Maybe you've been building the wrong thing, even though it was your plan the whole time. The Trinity, it's so funny that when we talk about the Trinity or when the Trinity is mentioned, we only mean the Holy Spirit. That's what we mean. We say, what do you mean the Trinity? Here's the Trinity. It is God is both one and triune. The biblical revelation testify that there is only one God and that He's eternally existence in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So here's what I come to tell you. The Holy Spirit is as equally God as the Father and the Son, except He's valued the least. He's valued the least, but He's as equally God. Let me show you the text, Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. How about this? In the beginning, God created the earth. Now the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Look at this. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Before the earth was formed, the Spirit of God was. Well, the Spirit just died out with the apostles. How did it die out with the apostles when it was here before the apostles? The Spirit was here first, from the beginning. So here's what we have a hard time with this, because God is in heaven, the Father. Jesus, according to Scripture, is where? At the right hand of the Father. So if God is in, the Father's in heaven, And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. What does that mean? He's in heaven, okay? So the part of the triune God or the Trinity that you encounter, hear, experience, and feel, who's here, is the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people aren't aware of this, but I want you to be aware of the God. We're calling this series Knowing God. I want you to know the God that speaks to you. I want you to know the God that is leading you and guiding you. The Holy Spirit is what helps you know God. The Bible calls him the Holy Spirit. He's a holy, someone say holy. He's a Holy Spirit. It's the only single word that can attempt to begin to describe God is holy. Holy is his name. We call the Bible holy because his spirit is holy. The Bible says this, that he is holy. There's no one like him. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart. There is nothing like God. He is holy. He's holy and nothing else is. He's a Holy Spirit. And here's what the scripture says. The scripture says, it's to your advantage, Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit comes. Here's what I'm gonna teach on today. The word advantage is the word symphero in the Greek. It means this, to bring together into a heap, to be advantageous, to be a comforter, to help, to benefit you, to profitable as useful. He said, it's a benefit to you that the Holy Spirit comes. Let me read this in the Amplified, John 16:7. It says this, but I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. For if I don't go away, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. Jesus said, I have to go because he is a helper. He's gonna help you. What does that mean to be a helper? It means to come, help, assist, serve, minister, to be an advocate or a personal intercessor. This is what the Holy Spirit does. So let me ask you this. How are you doing all of this on your own? Hence your struggle. Hence your trouble. I would encourage you, rather than spending all of your time resisting the Holy Spirit, why don't you try to get to know him? Because I promise you, he came to help you. I promise you, it's to your benefit, because Jesus said it is your benefit. This is Jesus. It's in red in your text. He said, it is to your advantage that I go so the Holy Spirit could come. So what happens when the Holy Spirit comes? Someone say, come, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes and he comforts. He comforts with his what? His presence. Isn't it amazing when we're all in the presence of God and we're worshiping and you could feel the presence of God? You don't feel addiction and temptation to what you walked in with? Is it amazing when you're in his presence, you're out of the presence of the other things that have been harassing you? So the strategy needs to be in his presence more. I found this as I was discipling and ministering to a lot of different young people throughout the years that were struggling with different addictions and temptations, that I found the more they were in the presence of God, the less they struggled with anything else. Because there was comfort in his presence. The Lord's Prayer prepares us for his presence. The Holy Spirit takes us into the secret place. So the Lord's Prayer is this. In Matthew, it says, our Father, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be, or holy is your name. This is how Jesus taught us to pray. Declare, holy is your name. Holy are you, Lord. Here's the thing is, when you start declaring who he is and using his name, it draws his presence. The Lord's Prayer teaches you. So my favorite worship songs are any worship songs that say holy in it. Because when you say holy, it's like throwing blood in the water to sharks. When you start declaring he's holy, it draws his presence. You say God's everywhere. Yes, his omnipresence is everywhere, but his Holy Spirit's presence, his tangible presence isn't everywhere. It's where it's welcome. So if you're new to the faith, start declaring he's holy. We teach you how to do this when you go through membership at Mercy Culture. We give everybody a personal ministry plan with a prayer guide that I use every year, every day for years. And when I start out praying, every morning I'm on the Trinity Trail running. It's actually really cool. I was running this morning and praying in the Holy Ghost, because God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. So I'm running, praying in the Holy Ghost. And I look up, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. I look up and there's like 20 doves, white doves in this tree. I'm like, that's pretty cool. And then I saw this unicorn with fire and a rainbow. And no, I'm joking. I didn't see it. I'm joking. But some people are really excited for 2 seconds. They're like, me too. Was there a lion? No, there wasn't a lion. We give you a personal ministry plan. And watch, we teach you how to get into the holy place. What do you mean the holy place? The tangible presence of God. I've been in a lot of churches that the presence of God wasn't in, because the Holy Spirit wasn't welcome. In fact, everything was welcome but the Holy Spirit. So watch, the Holy Spirit is what takes you into the holy place. The Holy Spirit is what takes you into the secret place. You're like, what do we mean secret place? The place where you tangibly feel God. One time, a group of us at Mercy Culture in our pre-launch were worshiping, and all of a sudden I got goosebumps. And every time I feel the presence of God, I get goosebumps. It's almost like something just rubbing on my arm. And as we were praying, I had a vision of us walking from the holy place into the Holy of Holies. And as we walked into the Holy of Holies, that torn curtain that Jesus ripped brushed my arm and gave me goosebumps. And I felt the Lord show me, when you go into the holy place, or the Holy of Holies, you feel the difference. There's a difference when you get into the holy place. You say, Landon, do you get in the holy place every day? Nope, not every day. But I sure try every day. I sure knock every day. I sure ask every day. And sometimes I'm distracted. Sometimes Heather's just being awful to me. I'm joking. Okay, no, sometimes there's things going on and but here's the thing. The thing is I try every single day, because when it happens, oh my goodness, it is a game changer. And that is where God speaks. What else happens when the Holy Spirit comes? The Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians talks about these. It says, to some he's given the message of wisdom, to others knowledge, faith, to another healing, to another power, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between the spirits, to another speaking in tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. The Holy Spirit gives these gifts, these spiritual gifts. So here's my question, is if Jesus is giving by his Spirit spiritual gifts, why would you not want a gift from Jesus? People say all the time, well, if the Lord wanted me to have a gift, he would just give it to me. But you don't say that about salvation, do you? Well, if the Lord wanted me to be saved, he would just save me. Oh, guess I'm going to go to hell. He didn't want to save me. No. You choose this day who you're going to serve. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the gifts work the same. He's a good father that loves to give generously to all that ask. If you want a gift, just ask for it. Just ask him for a gift. But these gifts are spiritual gifts for your benefit. Next thing, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit helps you pray. I just want to create an awareness on a few things. Isn't it interesting that the things of the flesh are so easy to do and the things of the Spirit are challenging to do? And it doesn't matter what it is so easy to eat as much of your kids' candy as you want. It is so easy to do anything of the flesh. It's so easy to watch a 30-part documentary series on Netflix in 24 hours. It is so challenging to finish the book of Proverbs. Why? Because it's spiritual versus the flesh. So here's, do you know why it's hard to pray? You're not praying with the Holy Spirit. So it sounds like this: Holy Spirit, help me pray. And when you ask the Holy Spirit to help you pray, He will. Look what Romans 8:26 says. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That's me. For we do not know what to pray or how we ought to. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Let me say it like this. Every time you pray in the Holy Ghost or pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is interceding with you and for you. And you don't need an interpreter to pray in tongues by yourself. If you get up on the stage and shoulda bought a Honda, you better have an interpretation. Because if you get up here and you have a word for everybody that's My Little Children in Spanglish and no one can understand what you're saying, that doesn't help anybody. So there needs to be an interpretation. But listen, but if everybody in this room is just using your own prayer language and worshiping unto yourself, not to anybody else, that's going to be in order. What's out of order is when you stand up and take attention on yourself. And we'll orderly help you out to go be somewhere else. So listen, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is interceding for you and with you. Why wouldn't you want that? Because somebody online talked you out of it. Because somebody convinced you, because their whole point was to talk you out of knowing God even more. And typically they do it through intimidation, because it's a spirit that's in conflict with the Holy Spirit. So let me give you a practical tip. If you want to speak in tongues, you just have to ask the Holy Spirit for the gift. And the same way you're saved through faith is the same way you receive spiritual gifts. And that goes for any one of these gifts. But let me give you a practical tip, okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't grab your face and shake your head till something comes out. I'm just waiting for that unicorn that Pastor saw on his run. Seven doves went into my mouth and seven eagles came out. No, stop. No, it's not. Stop. Somebody's made it weird for people and they haven't got a breakthrough because you're expecting Harry Potter to jump out with the magic wand. Listen, we rebuke you, spirit of Harry. Go back to your spiriyama. Whatever that is, I don't know. Listen, you have to open your mouth and submit your words to Him. So let me help you. Here's a practical tip. After you ask for the Holy Spirit, well, I've already done that. Ask again. After you've asked for the Holy Spirit, after you ask for the gift, then just start out loud declaring He's holy over and over. Do it 1,000 times. You're holy, you're holy, you're holy, you're holy. Why? Because it's who He is and it draws His presence. Quick practical tip. Okay, moving on. The Holy Spirit, this one's so good, helps you read the Bible. Do you know the Bible is really, really hard to understand without the author's help? He wrote it. He'll help you understand it. Let me show you scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the Passion Translation. Four people got upset. The Passion Translation? He's reading the Passion Translation? The only people that don't like the Passion Translation are people passionless. All right. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, breathed of God. And it will empower you by its instructions, its correction, giving you strength to take the right direction and lead you into deeper into the path of godliness. What a beautiful interpretation. The Holy Spirit is the author of the text. If you read other translations, it basically says the same thing in different vantage points. He wrote the book. He inspired men to write the book. The Holy Spirit was the author. Why wouldn't you ask the author questions about what he wrote? When I go travel in other churches, I wrote a book on homosexuality and another book on spiritual warfare, and people come up to me all the time and they'll ask me questions about Jezebel or certain other things, and they're, hey, when you wrote this, what did you mean? I do that to the Holy Spirit all the time. Holy Spirit, I'm so confused about this. What does it mean? And then I actually write down my questions to the Holy Spirit. Church, it blows me away. It's this fun game I play with the Lord. When I write down questions, he answers them. It's amazing. I feel like I'm supposed to encourage somebody. Quit asking everybody else the questions that you're supposed to ask the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying don't get confirmation. But you're like, I have nothing to talk to the Lord about. I don't know what to say. It's because you talk to everybody else instead of him. Ask him questions. And it's amazing. When you don't understand something in the text, stop to say, Holy Spirit, help me understand this. I don't get it. I got dyslexia. Sometimes I read things backwards and I don't see things right. I'm just like, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And it's amazing what happens when you invite him into the process. This might be my favorite one. The Holy Spirit helps you hear God. John chapter 16, verse 12. I, Jesus, have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Translation, I'm not going to tell you. But when the Spirit of truth comes, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. Watch this. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. Jesus said, I'm about done talking to you, but the Holy Spirit is going to continue talking to you. All right, so here it is. People have a hard time hearing God, because they don't realize it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to them. And let me just give you a secret. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it sounds like you. And this is what a lot of people can't get over, because when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, they're like, oh, that's just me. When I got on this journey of learning how to hear the voice of God, I was just obsessed. God, speak to me, speak to me, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. That prayer that we pray before every service and every sermon and all the small groups and constantly, my kids and I prayed on the way to school every single day. We pray when we go to bed every night. I've been praying it every day, multiple times a day since I was 18 years old, because I've been obsessed with hearing the voice of God. And it's been a journey of learning how to hear God's voice. We're gonna do a series next year just about this here at Mercy Culture. And one time, one of my mentors, his name is Dr. Alan Bullock. He worked at Daystar, and he called me. He's like, hey, Landon. He's like, how well do you hear God's voice? I'm like, well, I'm learning. I'm growing. These are the things I heard. He's like, let's do an experiment. I'm like, okay. He said, I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to speak to you one word. And you tell me when you hear it. I'm like, hold on a second. Let me understand. You're going to ask God to give me a word, one word, like a single word, that I'm supposed to hear after you pray it, the Lord tells me, and then I tell it back to you? He's like, yeah. I feel like Daniel when the king's like, tell me what I dreamt. I'm like, I don't know what you dreamt. Was it a unicorn? Was it a... So weeks go by, and I'd spend my Friday nights praying in the church, And so I'm worshiping one day at the altar, and I'm just walking back and forth, pacing and worshiping. And all of a sudden I hear the word metamorphosis. Just hear metamorphosis. And I don't think about metamorphosis. That's weird. I was like, metamorphosis? Go, go, power. I'm like, what? I don't know. I don't hear this. And so it came quick. It came fast. And it sounded like me, but it came out of nowhere. And I text him, I was like, hey, I don't know how this is supposed to work. Is the word metamorphosis? I text him. He said, that's the word. I'm like, no. Like, come on, who needs a word? You get a word, and you get a word. Words for everybody. And here's what he said to me. He said, now the next time you think you hear God's voice, see if it sounds like metamorphosis.
Here's what I would encourage you. When you think you're hearing God, it should sound like that same voice that you heard last time. And let me help you, God's word will never contradict itself. Anything God tells you will never contradict his own word. And here's the thing, it always resists the flesh. And it's always contrary to the spirit of fear. Some people, it will help you to begin to hear God by just recognizing the spirit of fear. Because the spirit of fear is the anti-Holy Spirit. And he speaks the opposite that the Holy Spirit will speak. When the Holy Spirit says go, spirit of fear will say, you better not do that. You don't know what they're going to think. You didn't know what's going to happen. And you don't know. And don't embarrass yourself. I there's not one text that I read that Jesus is like, hey, be careful about embarrassing yourself. Go to this town and say these things, unless it's embarrassing. Hold on. If you feel embarrassed, that's not the Holy Spirit. And then is it interesting that after you feel embarrassed, you feel shame because you disobeyed? Let that be a trigger when you feel, this is a practical thing, when you feel that, oh, I'm embarrassed, I don't know what, this feels weird. No, stop. Be like, all right, Holy Spirit, let's do this. And see what's happened. Listen, don't worry about missing God. Everyone misses God. So you're going to let a fear of missing God cause you to never step out and hear or obey God? One of the greatest prophets that ever walked the face of the earth was named Samuel. Samuel walked into David's house and he saw Jesse and all the boys, and he took one look at Eliab, David's oldest brother, and thought for himself, surely this is the Lord's anointed. One of the greatest prophets who ever walked the face of the earth took one look and thought and was wrong. And then God had to correct him and say, man looks at the outward appearance, the Lord looks at the heart. Let me say it like this way. Don't be afraid of being wrong, be afraid of not obeying. And let the fear of the Lord guide you and lead you. Got to keep going. Guys, when you start asking the Holy Spirit questions, this is the key. People are like, he never talks to me. Then talk to him. Then talk to him. And when you begin to talk to him, he talks back. And then this is why this is the vision of the church, to go from corporate encounters to daily personal encounters, because it's so easy to hear from God when you're in his presence. I got the coolest text this week. When a member of our serve team messaged me, he's like, I just got the job that I told you about. Got a brand new job, huge promotion. I'm like, that is awesome. He's like, that's not the coolest part. It's not about the money. It's not about the promotion. He said, the coolest part was that the Lord told me I would get it 2 months ago. He said, and I was just in the presence of God, and he told me I was going to get it, and he was more excited about hearing God than making double his income. It is amazing what happens when you start hearing God. Listen, ask him, am I supposed to do this deal? Ask him, am I supposed to do this partnership? Ask him, am I supposed to send my kids to this school? Ask him. Ask him everything. I mean it to this crazy level. When you start asking the Holy Spirit, what are we supposed to do? You and your fight, you and your spouse in disagreement, both of you guys on your own start asking the Holy Spirit about things. Then come back together. This is what I heard. This is what I heard. This is what I feel. This is what I feel. I'm telling you, it is amazing what happens when you welcome the Holy Spirit in. The Holy Spirit will help you make decisions. John 14, 26 says he is the counselor. I got to keep going. The Holy Spirit is what helps you bear spiritual fruit. Let me say it this way. You cannot bear spiritual fruit without the Holy Spirit. And please stop calling your houses and cars fruit. Because you can get that without the Holy Spirit. The only thing that is spiritual fruit is according to the word of God in Galatians chapter 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against those things, there's no law. Those are spiritual fruit. But because the church doesn't have spiritual fruit, we have to come up with something new. So we say stuff is fruit because we don't have spiritual fruit. Because you can't bear that without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what helps you have self-control. Because without the Holy Spirit, it's just your willpower. And that lasts for about 2 seconds. People are like, I can't do it on my own. You don't have to. That's why Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit. So you don't have to do it on your own. I got to keep going. The Holy Spirit helps us walk in supernatural power. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I would say this, without the Holy Spirit, you are powerless. Religion resists the Holy Spirit. Nothing resists the Holy Spirit more than the spirit of religion. Let me say it like this. Resisting the Holy Spirit is actually resisting Jesus because the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus. So if you want to know what that looks like, look how the Pharisees resisted Jesus, and that's how religious people resist the Holy Spirit today. So if you speak in tongues or you dance at an altar, they send you a YouTube video and tell you you're demon-possessed. And that's what the Pharisees said to Jesus. You're demon-possessed. Look at you, and you act a fool. It's probably inappropriate to tell God how he can move in people's lives. Just saying. Because if you cry, you're too emotional. If you laugh, you're weird. If you dance, you're too charismatic. Well, how do we encounter the Holy Spirit that pleases you? Just let me know. So you tell the Holy Spirit how to encounter us, and we'll just everybody do what you say. In fact, what you can be, you're almost a scholar at, is teaching us how the Holy Spirit doesn't move because he doesn't move in your life. So why don't you tell me how he does move, not all the things of how he doesn't? Could you imagine if you resisted sin the way you resisted the Holy Spirit? It's a spirit of religion. Y'all, they treated Jesus the same way. Everywhere he went, he's resisted. You're a devil. You're this. You're that. They're trying to trick him. It's like, people, this is what they do to you. They're like, well, yeah, dude, tell me to give me this. Give me the answer to this. And give me the answer to that. Give me that. There, no answer will suffice them. But the Pharisees did the same thing. Remember all the scriptures? They asked him a question just to trick him. That's your Facebook friend. They don't want to know. They don't want to grow closer to God. They don't want to encounter God. It's a religious spirit. Welcome to Texas. It's quiet in here. You know what? I could care less how many people come to the church. I have zero desire to be here if the Holy Spirit's not here. Let me just say it differently. If the Holy Spirit's not here, I'm out, y'all. It's the only reason I'm here. And the truth is, for the majority of you, it's the only reason you're here. Is your love for the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Jesus said, I have to go. This is so important. It was better if Jesus left. It is. In fact, when Jesus was telling his disciples how he would go, and he needed to go and suffer, Peter jumped up and said, no, Lord, never. These things won't happen to you. And Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16, 23, get behind me, Satan. Watch. Because Peter saying, Jesus, you can't go, would stop the Holy Spirit from coming. Watch this. Only a spirit from Satan would want to stop the Holy Spirit from coming. Because he knows what happens when he comes. You know what happens when he comes? Worship team, come join me. Every other spirit has to go. No. This is why the spirit of religion resists the Holy Spirit so much. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, every other spirit has to go. So when the Holy Spirit comes, that Jezebel spirit has to go. When the Holy Spirit comes, that spirit of fear has to go. When the Holy Spirit comes, that spirit of pride has to go. When the Holy Spirit comes, that flesh perversion has to go. When the Holy Spirit comes, every other spirit has to go. Jesus said it like this. He said, it's to your advantage. Watch this. He said, you're better off. Think about this. This is Jesus saying this. You're better off if I go. Could you imagine that? Imagine that. Just play like you promised. He said, you're better if I go. Do you know why? Because Jesus was all God and all man. And he could only be one place at one time. But the Holy Spirit can be everywhere all the time. Have you ever been jealous of the disciples? We're going to Israel next week. We're going to walk where Jesus walked. We're going to pray where Jesus prayed. And at times I've been a little jealous. Man, I would love to just ask Jesus questions. I would love just to be in his presence. Y'all, you can. We're supposed to fellowship with the Holy Spirit the exact same way the disciples fellowshipped with Jesus. Do you hear me? You got questions? Ask the Holy Spirit. You're frustrated? Tell the Holy Spirit. He said, it's better if I go, Jesus, so that he could come. Because when he comes, every spirit has to go. That anxiety you're dealing with has to go when the Holy Spirit comes. Those dark thoughts you're dealing with have to go when the Holy Spirit comes. That strife in your home has to go when the Holy Spirit comes. Do you want to know God? You want to know him better? You want an intimate relationship with God? Then you need to know his spirit. His spirit is how you know him. Here's what I came to tell you this morning. The Holy Spirit only comes where he's welcomed. There's so many places that God is resisted, that Jesus is resisted. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, is resisted. But when you welcome him, he comes. So what would happen? Do you know why you like what happens at Mercy Culture? Because we've been doing this for 2 years. Holy Spirit, what do you want? I just like the feeling in that church. Holy Spirit, what do you want? I just love the health in that church. Holy Spirit, what do you want? I just love the people in that church. Holy Spirit, bring who's supposed to be here. Say what you want to say. Do you know why you like it so much? Do you know why it feels different? Because every single day, we welcome him. What would happen if the Church of America stopped resisting him and started welcoming him? Let me say it like this. What would happen in your home
if you started welcoming him in your home? What would happen if you went into your rebellious child's room and just started welcoming in the room? What would happen in the middle of a fight if you just started welcoming him in a fight? Husbands and fathers, what would happen if you just walked around the living room of your home before anybody got up in the morning and you just welcomed him in your home? What would happen if you would go to the places that you once sinned and just welcomed him in those places? What would happen if you just welcomed him wherever you went? Here's the thing, he abides in the praises of his people. He abides in the welcoming of his people. See, when you welcome him, he shows up.
Closing with this. Just about every morning I run Trinity Trail and I pray. And you know what I do every morning? I tell the Holy Spirit, you are welcome in Fort Worth. This is your city. Have your way. Stand with me all over this place. I want to help somebody. I just want to give you one more practical thing. Anytime you feel or sense fear, just start welcoming the Holy Spirit. Anytime you feel or sense anxiety, welcome the Holy Spirit. Anytime you feel or sense fear, welcome the Holy Spirit. Because he shows up where he's welcomed. When Jesus was on the cross, he said something very powerful. He said, Father, I offer up my spirit. And on Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was birthed out. It was poured out. Jesus said, I have to go so the Holy Spirit can come. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place?
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.